second scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, they shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honour me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small kettle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honoured me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of the sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thy iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. So far the readings.
Children, what is special about April 16? And about September 25? April 16 and 2025. Probably not a whole lot of special thing to you, but to two children in the congregation that are very special days. If I was correct, April 16 was when Samantha was born. And September 25 is when Everly was born. The two children that will be baptized in this morning. Today, it's not a special day. This October the 6th, both days have something similar to it. What was similar to those two days? Both of these days, these children were involved in a little name ceremony. On April 16, the little baby that was born was called Samantha Joyce. And the other one on September 26 was called Everly Lillian. That sets those children apart. The rest of their life, and someone would call Samantha, she knows. Talking about me. Or when someone would say, that's Everly, they say, that's me. That name sets them apart forever. They'll never change. They know that that name identifies them. And that also, somehow, especially their last name, shows that they're connected to the parents. They belong to Buzz and Jessica, or to Sarah and Eric. It's a special privilege. They receive the special care of these parents. I've seen it already. They spend all their time and their energy and their love upon these children. Those are their children. And they raise them up for years, until they become old enough to be on their own two feet. And of course, if you carry the name Samantha Joyce Scott, or if you carry the name Everly Lillian Barsh, it also means you live a special way. Right? You want to keep that name honorable. You don't want people to speak badly about your family name. You have a little pride about that. And you do your best to live in such a way that no one would speak bad about your name. We all do that. There's a certain devotion you have. Yet, giving that name, Samantha and Everly and Tilden, to your name, giving that name didn't change the heart. I do not know what Samantha means. I've looked at what Everly means, but it means not anything, really. But sometimes names have beautiful meanings. But giving that child that name does not necessarily mean that that child will be different in her heart. May have the most beautiful meaning. A name doesn't make you what the name means. For sadly, the children that are born and were born, and like you and me, children, we're all having a bad heart. We all have sin. We all are proud. We all are selfish. We all are inconsiderate. We all are rebellious. We all hate God. Really? I used to hear that when I was young, and I thought, no, Lord, I don't hate you. But if I define hate meaning as I love him less than I should, then I'm already wrong. We all fall short. We all fail. And giving a child that name, Samantha or Evelyn, doesn't change the heart. And if not changed by God, and if the God doesn't bless the training that the parents will give that the child may go in the way it should go, it will remain the same. Today, another name ceremony takes place. Children, that took place with you too. And you've heard me say it before, that if you still don't know your baptism day, you're really missing out. I know you know your birthdays. But a birthday is an entry in a world of sin. And we celebrate it every year. And we forget to celebrate the day an other name ceremony took place. Far more significant than the earthly name. The name that God writes upon the foreheads of these children this morning. This morning God will name the name of Samantha and the name of Everly with His own name. And this morning it will be true for these two children as for all of you children. They will be called by the name Jehovah. That's special. Jesus, before he went into heaven, gave his disciples this task: go into all the world and teach all men, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ, or Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Greek means really baptizing them into the name. Into the connection to this name. Into the ownership of this name. That's what happens this morning. Today she will be formally named, these two children, with the name of the Triune God. Some time ago I read the story of Sinclair Ferguson in one of his books. And he met a young man from China, a Christian. And he asked him, "What's your real name?" And the young fellow answered, "Timothy." "Oh, no, no, I mean your real name, Timothy." "Oh, no," Mr. Ferguson says, "I mean a name that your parents gave you when you were born." Well, that gave a Chinese name, whatever that was. And Ferguson says, "You know, that's your real name. And I know you just took the word Timothy because that's a nice sounding name and that's why you chose that." And the young man answered something profound. He says, "No, Mr. Ferguson, Timothy is my real name. That was the name given to me at my baptism." Dear congregation, with this introduction this morning, I want to draw your attention again to this so significant moment that took place in all of our lives, even not all, maybe most of our lives here. Named with the name of God at the sacred moment that you and I were baptized. When this morning these children will be baptized, they also will receive a name that is far more significant than the name they received from their parents. And if we turn in the scriptures to Isaiah 43, I want to draw this morning your attention to that chapter. And let me read with you particularly verse 1 and 3. 1 and 7. Isaiah 43. Verse 1 and 7. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. And in verse 7, even every one that is called by my name. What's the difference between verse 1 and 7? I have called thee by thy name. And in verse 7, everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. So God describes Israel. I called you by your name, and I named you by my name. May we turn to Isaiah 63, in verse 19. There's a prayer. And this Israel prays, we are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Now let's be clear this morning, congregation. Calling someone by the name of Jehovah in a ceremony like this today, let us never make what baptism doesn't do. The name doesn't change the person inwardly. Baptism is not regenerational. It doesn't regenerate a person. Giving a name to a person doesn't change the person. Being baptized is not the washing away of original sin, as some teach. If that would be the case, all my kids would have been saints from the early days on, and they weren't for sure. And yours aren't either. Baptism is not saving anyone spiritually. Though it saves someone from much that others are not saved from. And that's because Jehovah's care over us and our children in his covenantal loving kindness. But being named with Jehovah's name is so significant. God writes his gospel message upon your forehead when he calls you by his name. And mind you, that as we heard this morning the Lord read to us the law of God, out of Deuteronomy 5 at least, 9 times he reminded us this morning, I am the Lord, your God. Every Sunday morning he begins to remind us, don't forget who I am, don't forget who you are. I am the Lord, and you are mine. I own you. I have created thee, O Jacob. I have formed thee, O Israel. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. That is beautiful. That is awesome, to be owned by Jehovah. Let's consider that briefly from verse 1. Particularly, our theme this morning is just simply owned by Jehovah. That speaks of an amazing grace to very wretched people. And that speaks of a providing grace to very poor people. Owned by Jehovah. That is a revelation of tremendous grace, amazing grace, to very wretched people. But also a tremendous provision of grace to poor people. Congregation, as this chapter begins, you must kind of not forget that these chapters are always one continual story. So don't start with chapter 43 to understand 43. Go to 42 to see where it comes out of. If you read 42 and you read what God says about Israel there and what he has done to them, it's amazing. When you read these last verses, let's read it for a moment from Isaiah 42, those last verses. God is asking a few questions. Let's go to verse 22. But this is the people robbed and spoiled. Yeah, this is Israel in Babylon. Picture yourself there. They're out of Jerusalem. The temple is destroyed. Their life is in a chaos. And he says, these are people robbed. These are people spoiled. Look, they're all snared in holes. They're hidden in a prison house, Babylon. They are for a prey and none deliverer. And for a spoiler, none saith restore. They're just totally helpless. God's asked a question. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil? What's the answer? Jehovah did. Who gave Israel to the robbers? The father of Israel did. Who's the father of Israel? The covenant Jehovah. He did that. He says to Nebuchadnezzar, come get them. Get them out of here. Rob them. Spoil them. Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his way, neither were they obedient to his law, and therefore he has poured on them the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and he has set them on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, and yet he laid it not to his heart. See, that's the context in which chapter 43 speaks. But now, see that contrast? Children, God was angry with the Israelites. He finally said, this is enough. Your dad ever said that to you? Now it's enough. He loses his patience. God didn't lose his patience. God was very patient. For centuries he'd been patient with Israel. Now he's just enough. He ships them off to Babylon. So angry with them. So angry with them. For their daring rebellion and rejection and their hardness and their coldness. And he says, done. Go. Now if you read that, you would never expect reading chapter 43 after that, do you? You never expect that to be changed. God's adopted children turned rebels. They committed treason. The Bible calls it adultery. Broken the relationship. Already on the honeymoon they did that. When they danced around the golden calf. Just a few days or so after Mount Sinai. From the days of their youth, they have been a sick people, these Israelites. Rebellious. It's not any different with us, congregation, is it? We're no hair better. We're not any different. We have the same adulterous, rebellious, idolatrous heart as these people did. And repeatedly God came after them and forgave them and started afresh, only to catch them cheating again. He came after them and restored it again. They found cheating again. That's God. Patiently pursuing his Israel, his Jacob. I formed thee. I created thee. And therefore, when you read chapter 43, do not forget, they never deserve to see his face again. Really. And there are, and no doubt, those in Isaiah's days that maybe feel that. But he is not done with them. Listen this morning. You don't deserve to see God's face anymore either. And I don't either. None of us do. None of us. even after this past week. We've done enough. We've done enough this past week alone. For him to turn away his face from us and say, I'm done with you people. But here he is again. This morning. He's not done with us. He says, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee. I made you. I formed thee, O Jacob. I took you, O Israel. I took you out of all those nations and I separated you from them to become my adopted people. I own you. Not only as the creator of the universe owns everyone, but in a special way I own you because I adopted you. That's the words God used when he speaks about Israel. I adopted you. That's an amazing grace already, isn't it? And God writes here about Israel. He's not writing only about converted people in verse 1. Will you please not think that? He's not just writing about his elect church either, from all eternity. He's talking here about the visible church Israel in Babylon. I formed you. I created you. I redeemed you. I took you out of this world and I placed you in my church and I gave you prophets and I gave you more prophets and I gave you my labor and my love and my attention and my everything. I gave nations for you. I gave them as a ransom for you. Egypt went down in order to deliver you. I've done all that to you. So do not read verse 1 only as God's elect. This is his visible church, as you and I sit before him this morning. But now, saith the Lord that created thee, I redeemed you, I set you aside, I have called thee by thy name, and I sent Moses out into that Egyptian. I said, this is my firstborn Pharaoh, this is my son, and you let him go. And you know all the history, and you remind us of that this morning. I am the Lord your God that took you out of the land of Egypt. And yeah, friends, we realize we haven't been in the land of Egypt. We are not a people that can trace our history back as the Jews did. But what makes you and me not being in the world today? What makes you and I, having been brought up in this protection of God's loving kindness in the church? What is that then? Is it just a common thing? Is it just a lucky thing? I don't like to use the word lucky, but let me just use it for a moment. Is this just a chance you were born of your parents and you were born in a church visible? Is it just something that just happened because of? It just happened? No. That was a choice in heaven about you and me. And that's why God reminds us. I formed you, and I set you aside, and I delivered you, and I called you, and I called you also by my name. This morning, God is visualizing that. When I lay my hand upon this child, children, was a day that a minister, and maybe I did it as well, but another minister laid his hand, but that minister is not important. It's the hand of God that is important. And this morning, you know what really happened? Jesus lays his hand on the children that are baptized this day. It's his hand. And he says, I call you by the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's very important. And that's why I always say these birthdays are great days. This baptism day is far greater. You feel that? Yet we so ignore it. This amazing grace. we sang this morning as we open our first song. We worship God that we have been brought as sheep into His pasture. Children, don't look wistfully at the world today. Don't say, oh, I wish I could be out there doing this and that. You are wrong. There is no better place to be than to be in that pasture ground of Jehovah. This is His pasture ground. He's placed you here to teach you what others may never learn or hear about what God is in His amazing grace for a poor sinner. Look up this morning. Think about multitudes of people today without a shepherd. No, I say that wrong. Everyone has a shepherd. You've heard that in the last couple of weeks. Everyone has a shepherd. We all follow someone or something. But only those are blessed who truly have the shepherd Jehovah to lead them and to guide them. We are as equally lost sinners as all the world is, placed in the best pasture, where we have the pillar of light to go before us in the Word, and the pillar of fire to go before us in the Word. That's special. All my years, I've been under the care of Jehovah ever since I breathed my first breath. That's special. That's amazing grace. For I am just as bad a sinner as everyone else is in this world. Secondly, not only does this whole message of God speak about amazing grace, it also means that He will provide His grace to poor sinners. Note what God is saying to these rebels in Babylon. I will give. I don't have time this morning to go through this whole chapter, but it is so full. God speaks about I will give, I will give. I will give. I will. I will. I will. Everywhere in these books of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all these prophets, He speaks about His I will. Also in this chapter. I will be with you when you go to the waters. I will be with you. Basically what God is saying there to these people in Babylon, these rebels there in Babylon, I am here with for you. There is no one else. I, Jehovah, and beside there is no Savior. Yes, you sit in Babylon. You're hopeless there. You're helpless there. You are as a prey in the hand of the mighty. You cannot redeem yourself. You cannot restore yourself. You cannot return yourself. But look to me. I am committed to provide my saving grace and to bring sinners back to myself. Even though you're poor, I have given nations as your ransom. God reminds them of that in verse 3. I'm the Lord. I gave Egypt as a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba. And since thou hast been precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Don't forget to not notice that. I have loved thee. That's the whole motive of all this. Love. Sovereign, free, gracious, intense love. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. So God says, look. I will bring you out. I'll raise up Cyrus. I'll let the Persians pay for the return trip. I'll let them pay for the restoration of Jerusalem. But friends, let me take you a little farther. This provision of God's grace is not in gold and silver. This deliverance of God's grace is given in Jesus Christ, the ultimate price. I will give my Son for you sinners. And in Him I will provide all what is needed for you sinners. You have nothing to pay the debt to God. You have nothing to appear before God with. In me is your help found. I am your Savior. I'm the only one. And maybe there are some of us sitting this morning in the pit. Maybe you feel like you're sitting with those Israelites, robbed and spoiled. And you sit in prison, ensnared in a hole, with no return, with nothing to offer, with no way, oh come. Remind you this morning what God wrote on your forehead. That's why He did it. It don't matter what hole you're sitting in, you'll never forget what He said. I own you. I owned you. I am your Savior. Though you are the ends of the world, wander away from me. Though you sit in a hole as deep, you don't see light anymore. That name is still on your forehead. You're called by my name. Forever. You never erase that. That will never go away. No, mind you, that name will hurt one day. When will that name hurt? When we stand before Jesus again, literally. And He will ask us, why would you not have me, King and Savior, in your life? Didn't I remind you in the most personal way that what the Scriptures proclaimed to you was also for you? I called you by my name. See, then it will hurt. Then it will be like a burn mark forever to remind us that we have neglected so great salvation. And now today, with all what you have lost and done and wrong, come friend, you're sitting perhaps with a burning heart because you feel so far from God and so guilty before God and so hopeless before God. Are you? Then may I remind you this morning, you are called by His name. And remind you what God says, even everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, and I have made him. Why would God do that? Well, that was because He had a sovereign love to do it. Sovereign love is one of the most beautiful revelations of God's glory. The unconditionalness and the one-sidedness of God's dealings, friends. It is just such a chapter of comfort that He took initiative from all eternity and also initiative in your and my life to come to us with these messages of gospel is because He is moved in Himself to show mercy. You don't have to move God. He says it to Israel. Out there in that Babylon, out in that hole, I have loved you. This love moved God to deny His own anger, to step over His disgust, and to succumb to enemies. It made him, as it were, step over the pain of his heart when he saw with holy eyes of jealousy his people cheating again as they went after the idols and as they forsook him days without number. And instead of bursting loose with his anger, he didn't. He sent another prophet to plead, another messenger to plead. My people, hear me. Return to me. You have destroyed yourself. But I am gracious, ready to pardon again and again. And now you think it'd be done with Israel as they sit in Babylon, unless Jerusalem is destroyed. No, but now, saith the Lord, that created the old Jacob, and he that formed the old Israel, fear not, I have redeemed, have called thee by my name, thou art mine. You are mine. And therefore, return to me. Yes, you hurt me. Yes, you despise me. Yes, you have forgotten me. Yes, you did all that. Yes, you have rebelled. Yes. But I still own you. You're still called by my name. And see how well did Israel understand that later, as I read to you that one verse out of Isaiah 63 and 64. That's just such a marvelous prayer. When we hear that remnant there in Babylon taking on that very truth that God spoke to them in the previous chapters. And look at verse 15 of chapter 63. Look down from heaven, O God, and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. You say, how can you appeal to God's holiness when you're such a sinner? How can you appeal that God will look down from this glory when you're such a wretch? Because they understood that God's holiness is His intense devotion of love toward a people that are unholy. And therefore, taking hold of the name Jehovah, hear them plead, Lord, where is thy zeal and thy strength and thy sounding of thy bowels and thy mercies toward me? How do you dare pray that? When you slapped your parent in the face. When you slapped your God in the face. Where are thy soundings of thy heart, Lord? Where is thy feelings toward me? Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abram be ignorant, and though Israel acknowledges not, thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. We have a lot to learn when you read prayers like this. In Isaiah 64, there's a verse somewhere too, where God says, where are the people who take hold of my name? There is none. Here's verse 7. There is none that calleth upon thy name. There is none that stirs up himself to take hold of thee. The congregation. Maybe you say, I don't dare to pray that. What these people prayed here. I understand. You know why you don't dare that? It's because you look at yourself. And as long as you keep looking at yourself, you'll never dare to pray this. But this morning, God doesn't ask us to look at ourselves. I have called thee by my name. So I can go to Him. Lord, even before I knew, though I was conceived and born in sin, and though I was a serpent and an egg, though I was rotten to the core, though I was wicked as a child of wrath, Thou hast written what Thou hast proclaimed from the day I was born. I am the Lord, your God.